Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Now, something odd is happening online in relation to South Africa. A few days ago, Donald Trump tweeted about what he called the large-scale killing of white South African farmers. It's an idea that's been echoed in certain parts of Fox News, enthusiastically reported by the Russian state mouthpiece RT, and embraced online by right-wing activists and white supremacists in the US. The basic idea is that white-owned farmlands are being seized by the South African government and that large numbers of white farmers are being murdered. On the line is Martin Plout. Martin is a journalist who has specialised in the area for many years and is a senior research fellow at the Institute of Commonwealth Studies. Martin, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Has this idea been, this idea that there's some a white genocide or about to be a white genocide, has this been floating about for some time?
Yes, it has. I mean, there's been concern in Australia. The Australians even began thinking about, well, should we grant some white farmers refugee status? I think they've moved away from that now. So this isn't the first time this issue has come up. And there certainly has been a large number of attacks on white farms in South Africa. I mean, the statistics, something like 21,000 attacks in the last two decades, 1,723 killings on the farms. So is there some basis for this concern? Yes, there certainly is.
But in the context of the general murder rate in South Africa, how serious is it?
Oh, not at all. That is the tragedy. I mean, what has happened on the farms is terrible, but it is by no means extraordinary in South Africa. I'm afraid South Africa has been said to be the murder capital of the world. I think that's grossly exaggerated, but you kind of get the idea. There are, unfortunately, South Africa is a very violent society. It always was, but in some ways it's become almost more violent since the end of apartheid, because apartheid sort of kept the pressure, the lid on everything, and, you know, when the lid was taken off, there have been terrible crimes and terrible killings. But, I mean, if you want to know where there's really, really bad murder rates, you go to Cape Town. My home city sounds like a lovely place to go and have a holiday, and it certainly is. I've just come back from there. But you go to some of the poor suburbs, the townships on the edge of the city, particularly the ones in which the coloured mixed-race population lives, like Lavender Hill. And, I mean, there is a shootout every single weekend. And that is where there's a sky-high murder rate, far in excess of anything that happens on the farms. Nobody talks about it outside of South Africa. So, yes, it is true that there have been terrible killings on the farms, including some absolutely appalling, attacks on people where they were tied up, tortured, raped, killed. I mean, awful things have happened. But I'm afraid that it is not particularly peculiar.
Yeah, and the clear implication seems to be that the farm attacks are purely motivated by race, and they're attacks for their own sake rather than they're part of a robbery.
I mean, you know, how does one know why an attack takes place? There's every which reason for the attack. Sometimes they are vengeance attacks because the farmer's been a bad employer. Sometimes they are just attacks because, there's somebody who really hates white people. There certainly are black people who feel like that. They believe that white people have betrayed them over the years. So, you know, and that the land was stolen from black people. That is the sort of feeling that is engendered. And the problem is there's right on all sides, and that is the difficulty in looking at this issue. I mean, there is a sort of narrative that whites are somehow not real South Africans. They don't have a right to own the land. Yet, I mean, you know, they've been in the country for 350, 400 years. Now, it's a bit difficult to begin to say, oh, well, you know, you came as colonizers. When? I mean, you know, it just goes back too far to begin to unpick. At the same time, apartheid certainly stole land from people in vast quantities. So that is true. And there are people alive who remember the land that they held being taken from them. And there must be some kind of justice for them. So it's a very, very difficult issue. And the ANC government of Cyril Ramaphosa is doing what he can now. He says he's going to have farm redistribution expropriation without compensation. I think it's a very controversial position to take. I mean, even farmers say that they don't believe it's going to lead to a Zimbabwe-style expropriation of all white farms where, you know, the agriculture just collapses, precisely because the ANC government of Mr. Ramaphosa knows that they need agriculture. Because one half of the issue is land, the other half is agriculture. Mm. You know.
But also, to be clear, up to this point at least, and as you've said, the ANC government is considering perhaps making the process slightly more aggressive, but they haven't seized anything. They've just been buying farms.
Exactly. They have been buying farms. But here this is where it gets really difficult, because a lot of the farms that they bought and they redistributed, they didn't. So let's say you take a farm, one family is making a decent living off it, it's good, well-run farm, and you say, well, this will be a great farm, it's near a poor area, we're going to give it to poor people. You then take, shall we say, 20, maybe 30 families from the poor area, and you give them the farm. Now, they usually do it by saying you've got to run it as a cooperative. Now, the cooperative is the most difficult form of organization to ever run, because it needs, you know, complex forms of agreement and, you know, process, most of which people don't have any knowledge of doing. And the people you've put on the farm have no personal experience. I mean, they were probably their parents or grandparents were farmers, but not them. Most of them don't have any knowledge of how to run a farm. Farms in South Africa are very complicated. They are high-spec farms. They're not just peasant farms. Certainly the white farms are not. Mm. And so if you give it to them, they don't have the capital. They don't have the expertise. They harvest if they're lucky, they harvest what they have. They sell off some of the farm equipment, and then they drift back to town because they can't make a living from it. And very often they sell the farm back to the guy that was bought from the government. So there's been a huge failure of the redistribution system that the government has brought about so far, which is why the government is tearing out its hair. Saying, well, you know, we've tried doing it this way, it hasn't worked. Yeah, but one of the reasons it hasn't worked is because of what you're trying to do. If you gave a black farmer who had the skills and the capital the white land, yes, that might work. But to give it in the way they do it, to redistribute to the poor and in large numbers, is guaranteed to fail.
Yeah, and you know, while obviously because it's a very tricky process and obviously hugely controversial in South Africa, it seems to have been hijacked by forces outside South Africa with perhaps a slightly different agenda.
Oh, indeed, and I mean, you know, Mr. Trump, you know, has only one real agenda, as far as I can tell. I'm not a specialist on American affairs, but I mean, he seems to really believe that his way, to keep in power is to keep his base and his supporters happy. So whatever he's required to do, he just finds a particular issue, and race is a big issue because, he is, when he talks about corruption, he talked about corrupt Hillary. What he really meant was that Hillary Clinton represented the corruption of the correct order of America. And the correct order, in his view, was white men on top, then everybody goes down until you get, you know, I suppose, black women at the bottom of the pile. And he guarantees his base that he will stand up for white male interests. I mean, it's not complicated. Mm. He does it, and he uses all these little examples from around the world to show that he's standing up for them.
Yes.
That's really what he's doing, and he's just using the South Africans. And the interesting thing is that many white farmers in South Africa say, you know, just leave us alone. This, you really don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, it was, I suppose, rather telling when he put out that tweet on the 23rd of August. One of the first people to respond to it positively was David Duke of the KKK.
Well, so, that tells you everything, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, just?
But just to give you one final thing, which perhaps it just gives you a feel how difficult this issue is. When the ANC came to power at the end of apartheid, they looked at the land issue and they said, well, you know, we make up 72% of the population or something. We only own about 8 or 9% of the land. But if you actually begin to look at that, that required that you said all of the big game parks, like the Kruger National Park, which is the size of Wales, I mean, this is not a small patch of land, is white. Now, if we now have a new government, which is, you know, an ANC government, should we now call it black? that actually shifts the percentage in the other direction. It doesn't move a single person onto on or off land. But this is why the issue is so difficult, so complicated, and it's really not something that, that any foreign leader should just get, you know, come stumbling into with so little understanding.
Yeah. Is there any particular reason why this story started being reported in Australia?
You know, I think there were a lot of... you mustn't forget that the Australians are pretty conservative in themselves. And there have been a lot of white South Africans have gone to Australia, and a lot of them have said, told tales of the terrible things that they have suffered. And there certainly have been. I'm not trying to underestimate the appalling suffering that some people have experienced. And in certain areas, it has been very intense. And if you go area by area, rather than just taking the whole of South Africa, it is possible to say that some areas are genuinely depopulated of the white farmers have fled. Mm. So that is true. And if you go there and you start talking to your friends around the barbie, there is a growing concern about this. But, you know, if you look at it carefully, it doesn't really stand up, which is not to say that it isn't an issue. You know, the other problem is that if you are a white farmer and you pick up the phone, you say, I'm under attack, and you phone up the police, you have zero chance of anybody coming to your help. It's
yes.
Self-help or nothing.
Yeah. Martin, thanks very much for speaking with us today.
No,
Martin,
it's a pleasure.
Martin Plout is a senior research fellow at the Institute of Commonwealth Studies in England, also obviously a journalist working in this area for many years. He's also co-author of Robert Mugabe, which is published by the Ohio University Press. We're going to take a break. After that, a bomb shelter in your back garden.